Say, Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see. And a spirit to perceive. What your Holy Spirit is speaking to me. We're going to go to 1 John. Kind of ironic that the beginning of this message is walk in the light. And it starts with verse 5. Notice that the heading on 1 John is the word of life. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Did you see the corporate there? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I've taught on the blood for many years, so off and on, depending on the press in my heart. But this past week, one particular day, I ended up with a discussion with the Lord. How many know you can have a discussion with the Lord? So we were having a little bit of a talk. And I said, Lord, what is the difference between your blood and the blood of Adam? Oh. Remember, the scripture says, and I'm not going to go all over the place, I'm just going to kind of press in for you, that Jesus is the creator. Without him, there was nothing. So who put Adam together? Yeah. The Holy Spirit breathed life into Adam. Where did his blood come from? Ah. Think about it. Did Adam have the blood of Jesus?
No. Yeah, he had the blood of God, not Jesus. And the blood of the Father.
You think so?
I'm not sure. Exactly.
Am I bugging you a little?
Yes.
The intention is there. Yeah, I'm doing it on purpose. Okay? Because truthfully, I don't have a clear understanding, because I said to the Lord, this is a little complicated, Lord. And he says, it's intended to be, and over time, I will reveal it. Over time. Meaning, maybe I can't digest the fullness of what he's about to reveal to us. But I am able to say that I know that the one who put Adam together was not the Father. Because the scripture said, no. The scripture says Jesus is the firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn. So it's not Adam. Yet the scripture also says that Jesus is the second Adam, but his blood had to be different. Because his blood was willing to sacrifice and let
itself go into the ground and wash away my sin and yours. Adam's was not able to do that. Yeah, it's gotten awful quiet in here.
The look on your face, I wish I
had. See, all I can say for sure is that out of the word of the Father, everything that was created by the Son. Without Jesus, there's nothing that existed. So I said, okay, God, I'm catching on a little bit. See, Jesus is the one that was the first of all creation. They had no end and no beginning. Now, I know he didn't have a body to live in. That came through Mary. Yes? Mm-hmm. Now, Mary's blood was not in the son she bore. It was a direct deposit from the Holy Spirit.
We know that to be scriptural and true. Yes.
Okay? But I never questioned where the blood of Adam came from. Did it come from the Holy Spirit? And I don't know whether that's one way or another. And I'm not trying to tell you that I know, because I'm not. I'm still into a bunch of questions. But I do know this. The concentration that he pointed out to me was this. He said, look at the scriptures on my blood. So that's where we're going to go. Matthew 26:28. Matthew 26:28. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Sins, rather, multiple. John 6:56, John 19:34. Coordinate it.
What was the first one? John.
Matthew 26:28, John 6:56, and John 19:34. The next one is Acts 20:28. Keep watch over yourself of all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. Notice who made you overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So the purchase price was paid through Christ Jesus, not through Adam. So there's another major difference. Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, not by my actions, not by my reactions, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Through whom? Not Adam. But Christ Jesus himself. Amen? All right. It's also confirmed in Colossians 1:20. Then in Hebrews 9:14, this one is kind of cool, because it's going to show you how the process goes forward. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit, notice again, it's through the Holy Spirit, the eternal Holy Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Now that's a mouthful. The eternal spirit is involved, if you notice. Without the eternal spirit, you don't have it. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Who are our forefathers? They're Adamic. Amen? We have a new nature. We are from the man, Christ Jesus. That's why we're not the old creation anymore. We're the new. 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. A lamb, hear me now, without a blemish or a defect. The whole Passover situation, when we celebrate it every year, is that that lamb had to be inspected by the kids of the house for a whole week. And kids are nosy. And I can tell you this. In my own experience, I find that my mind gets into trouble when I try to listen to what God does or watch what God does through my body. How many have seen their body do something silly that doesn't make sense until the Word of God starts waking you up? Amen. Okay? In 1999, I went to Israel. And yet, for several years, whenever I would give out Holy Communion, and it actually roots back to the Catholic Church, the very first time that we had in my Roman Catholic experience, and I'm not looking at it from a negative point, so it's not a critical thing, we were allowed to have at St. Anne's extraordinary ministers. Mm-hmm. I was the first one that was ordained by the bishop, right here in the cathedral on State Street, to be able to give out Holy Communion. And may I say that there was a lot of adversaries to this because it was totally against tradition. Okay? And it was spring. I had a beautiful new suit because you had to wear a suit when you went to church or a sport jacket. You had to be dressed. Okay? And so I put on a nice suit, tie, the whole nine yards, and I was shaking on the inside. And when I gave out Holy Communion that first time, to show you the power of religion and what I was filled with, which was fear. When I walked into my house after that experience, I took off my clothes in the shower room, dropped them there, and I put them in a plastic bag. That's how strong they smelled. The suit was new. I don't think I had worn it maybe once or twice. It had to go to the cleaners. The shirt was literally stained. It was actually, the suit coat was drenched from my perspiration. I was fighting the spirit of fear and the spirit of rejection because I know how many people purpose to cross over to receive communion from the priest and not me. Did I see it as a test? No. I did not see it as a test. I saw it like hell on wheels. What the world did, and I mean, my wife came home and she says, Kim, you should have never done that. Did you see what happened? Because again, what did she serve? People. Everybody in church had to be happy with her and me. Otherwise, we were not a quality family. Oh, you're hiding home? So, what am I saying to you? Later on, at Grace Church of Christ, and by the way, we did the intincture. That's what it's called. You take the host and you dip it into the blood. About 3 years later, they discontinued that because they didn't want us to spread germs and disease. And I had a conference with the bishop's assistant. He later on became the bishop of... And at that conference, me and him, one-to-one, I said, and by the way, my pastor, who's gone to be with the Lord now, Father LeBec, was sitting on the chair next to me, and I'm confronting this bishop-to-be. And I said to him, would you explain to me how, if you really believe that this is the blood of Jesus that we are giving out, that you're shutting us out now, we're not going to be allowed to do this anymore because you're afraid of AIDS. How can you transfer AIDS through the blood of Jesus Christ? And he looked at me, and he said, Kim, you don't understand disease. I said, you don't understand the blood. And it was out. So now I knew because I was angry. My old nature was showing, okay? And I was jumping inside. So we get in the car, we drove home, and the pastor says to me, "Oh, Kimmy," says, "you know, you kind of stirred things up here." And I said, "Well, I'll be honest with you. I said, I would never go to that man's mass." He said, "Why?" Because I said, "He doesn't believe in what he's doing. He's putting on an act." And so he said, "Kim, you don't mean that." I said, "Yes, I do mean it. His consecration is useless. He's just saying words." And I said, "I could never agree with that man that it is the blood of Jesus that we're receiving." And he says, "Oh my God." I said, "Did you ever listen to yourself? Did you ever tape what you do every Sunday morning and every morning when you do Mass? Do you listen to what you say?" I said, "You are reverent before God, and you are truthful from your heart, and your communion is real." That man was a fake, in my opinion. I said, "I'm not telling you that you can't go, but for me, he is not in agreement with the word." So we came home. It was extremely quiet. Extremely quiet. A few years later, I'm in Grace Church of Christ. We're giving out Holy Communion within tincture. And I can remember it like yesterday. I've got some of the blood on my fingers. And I found myself going like this over my forehead and going, wiping my fingers on my right-hand side and then crossing over to the left side. And I did it, I don't know, maybe you could call it out of an instinct within me that didn't make sense, but I knew I wasn't supposed to lick my fingers. I could have done that too, but I didn't. So I kind of questioned the Lord, and a few weeks later, I found I was doing it again. Passing my finger on my forehead, doing the right-hand side and the left-hand side. Then I realized, well, these are the main arteries, so it does make some sense to put some blood on both sides of my neck. Didn't understand the forehead. The Lord said, "You don't understand why you're doing this, but I will show you later." So now, taking you quite a few years further, because I did it several times over the years, and it was like remote control, if that makes any sense. It's my spirit man directing my hand to do this. No clear understanding. When we were in Israel, I bought a cassette of all the different things that you can witness at different feasts in Israel. And about 2 or 3 weeks after I'm home, I finally, one night, decide that I'm going to put this cassette in, and I'm going to listen to it. Not a cassette. DVD? Okay. No. CD. No, it's CD. Not a CD. It's the old style.
Tape.
VCR tape. Well, we get that out. Yeah, it took a while. And they're showing, they're showing the Passover ritual. And there's like a teaching going on, and there's a monitor, they're giving examples. And here is what I watched. All of the hot heads of the families, the rabbis. The main rabbi is standing up, and he doesn't have a lamb. But all the others have a lamb. And they're over a little bit of a brook, running water through the brook. And they take the knife, and they literally cut off the front of the throat of the lambs. And the main rabbi is standing. What does he do? He stoops down and he takes his index finger and the next finger and he dips it into the running blood. And where do you think he went with it?
Forehead.
Immediately his forehead, down the right-hand side of the main artery, and then on the left. And guess what happened to Kim?
Revelation.
I started to cry. I couldn't stop my mind. I shut the machinery off, and I just said, Lord, this is too much. You're blowing me away. He said, there are two sets of doorposts. Are you not a temple? What is the door to your temple? Am I really living within you? And where is all your trouble from, but from your brain? And what you listen to, the gates. Yeah. So, the main rabbi was giving me a teaching that's not in the word, but it's in the traditions of the Jewish feasts. Giving me an appreciation of watching what they've done for centuries. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. His blood. Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. There's another qualification. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Did you hear? He's also the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. It's confirmed. Revelation 7:14. Revelation 7:14. I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Mental war games can be great tribulation. They have washed their robes with and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And it's confirmed in Revelation 12:1. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Adam did his best, but he also needed the blood of the Lamb. He was not a lamb. He made a quality choice by rejecting what the Creator and what Jesus had already done. Jesus was available to him as the tree of life, and he rejected it. He was the tree in the middle of the garden. You could have fed from him, but he didn't. He was the living bread in the middle. But he couldn't go there. He was still selfish and focused on what creation was in front of him. And the tempter was using his mind, will, and emotions along with his wife. And they agreed that they were going to go with the tree of the knowledge of good and the tree of knowledge of evil. And they wanted to be like God. Jesus never took that stand against his Creator and his Father. He was the firstborn of many brothers, and we are of a different class. We are not like the rest. So don't compare yourself with those outside. Compare yourself with him. He is the firstborn. Now would you lift your hands towards these gifts, because I do believe what he's done today is to set us free to walk with him. So, Father, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that my Savior was cut open, and out of his side came blood and water. As he was poured out, we also are sometimes poured out. How many can say amen? There were times we are poured out. Sometimes we get refilled, but sometimes we fail to run to him. Amen? And I do believe that as the Holy Spirit was giving me insight, I want this insight inside of each and every one of you. So I want you to stand. I want you to come up here. Gather together.
kind of kill the switch, please? Thank you. You're just getting rid of the heavy-duty lights. Come on. Get a little closer. That's it. Say, Lord Jesus, this is the table of life. The living bread is really Jesus himself, who gave himself for us. He wasn't selfish in any way. And there were no blemishes on that lamb. Yes, this is the lamb who gave his flesh on that tree for me. Also, Lord, we lift up the cup of salvation to decree to myself that this blood has washed away
all my sin.
Not some with a few leftovers, but all my sin.
Yesterday's sin,
today's, down through the centuries,
all of them.
Dealt with by him.
To buy the freedom.
Then I walk in.
Amen?
Amen. So I take this for number one, meaning me. Because no different than you, I sometimes question. And I question and I question. And I don't make apologies for it. But I take this because it is the source of my future. It is the source that will make me into what I've been called to be.